It's time to talk Utah football with Utah tight end Brant Keithy. This is Brant Keithy with Bill Riley, presented by Craig Swapp & Associates. One call, that's all. An exclusive weekly conversation on the Bill Riley Show. Now let's get to the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, and Utah senior tight end or wide receiver. Never mind, just call him an offensive weapon. Brant Keithy on your home of the Utes, Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Brant Keithy with us on this Tuesday noontime hour here on the Bill Riley Show today. It's, of course, championship week again. It's kind of become a habit for the University of Utah to play in the Pac-12 championship game for the last 5 years, really for the last four real seasons. COVID doesn't count. Nobody counts, and Kyle Whittingham certainly doesn't. So if you go by that math, it's for the last four real Pac-12 championship games that Utah has played in, winning last year, losing the other two, hoping to make it two in a row this year. And Brant Keithy joins us. He's been part of the other three championships, and he'll be there Friday. He'll just be there in street clothes instead of a football uniform. Right, Brant?
Yeah, it sucks, but it's how it is, and let's go win that championship.
Does it make it tougher? I mean, now that they've gotten there, you want to play in every game, certainly, but when you get to that championship game, because you've played in those championship games and you know what it takes to win one of those championship games, does that make it even a little bit more difficult this week?
No, I mean, once you kind of come to the realization that there's nothing that you can do in this case, I mean, the only thing I can do is be there. It is hard, but over the past however many games it's been since I got injured, it's gotten easier and easier just knowing that there's nothing I can do physically. It's not like I can get myself ready to go play. It's not like that. I literally can't play. So I just kind of come to the realization and just know that at least I can be there for them. That's all I can do, and it's the only thing I can do, and just focus on that.
It would probably be tougher if, say, you were like nursing like a hamstring injury or something that was kind of nagging but not season-ending, right?
Yeah, if it was like that, I'd push through it and play. But obviously, under the circumstances, I mean, if they want me to, I can be a game-time decision, but not sure if I'll be able to play.
They could run you out there as a decoy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be really running out there. I'd be more walking, but I could dress out if you want me to.
Here comes number 80. Brant Keithy's on the field. We didn't expect this, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as surprising as it was that Bryson Barnes got the start against Washington State, I would say – if I called you walking onto the field, that would be even more surprising.
I wish, but health-wise, I should not do it. And just overall, I wouldn't even be able to help at all. I'd just be more in the way than actually doing anything for the team. So, no, I'll just be out there just cheering everybody on, and hopefully we'll win the championship.
So let me ask you, let's go back to Saturday for just a minute. We'll go back to Friday, really. Four things had to happen for your team to reach the Pac-12 championship again. And there were four possible things, no doubt about it. And I would say four pretty possible things, but I wouldn't say necessarily probable things, if that makes sense. So UCLA wins, but not really convincingly, on Friday. And then you enter Saturday. You know the Utes have to win, which we kind of knew was a foregone conclusion. Colorado's just not real good this year. But Oregon State and then Washington State. So I'm guessing, I didn't see you, but I'm guessing you were you on the sideline on Saturday?
Yeah, I was.
Were you keeping tabs on that game? Were you keeping tabs on the Oregon State game?
Yeah, after we got it by a lot, we were kind of watching the game. When it got to 31-10, I was like, damn. And then I guess Oregon really wanted us to go to the championship because they just started messing up, giving the ball on their side of the field. That punt, the punter, when he muffed the punt and got down on a one, I kind of knew Oregon State was going to come back and win, and all we had to do is hopefully Washington would win. And that was a close game too, but they ended up pulling away, and thank you to those two teams for winning and whoever else won for us to go into the Pac-12 championship. It all lined up for us.
Well, it was funny because the game was kind of out of hand, we were up at the broadcast booth, and I'm calling the Utah game, obviously, but we have the Oregon State game on our TV in the booth. And so I've got one eye on the TV and one eye on the Utah game. And there was one point, Brant, where I was calling play-by-play of both games because Oregon had that kind of that goal line situation late where Oregon State had to come up with that stop. So I literally am calling a play of the Utah game. Then I go back and I call the play-by-play off the TV of the Oregon game. Then I go back and call for like 5 minutes. I was giving play-by-play of both games on Saturday because, to be fair, your game wasn't in doubt at all. I think the people that were listening in were probably more curious as to what was going on in that Oregon-Oregon State game.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, no offense to Colorado, but just being a 1-10 team and barely anybody in the stands with good weather, they just didn't seem like they didn't – they just seemed like they didn't want to come out and play anymore. There's really no hope for their season. They only had one win on the season. And just sucks for them. But, I mean, the team that we are – knew that we were going to easily be on top at halftime and sitting there just waiting for the other teams and just trying to find the scores and see if we can watch the game at any time. It was great to see Oregon State win and then came back home just in time to watch Washington State and Washington. I watched it a little bit on the plane on the way back, but most of it I watched it at my apartment. But, yeah, it was insane games. Crazy that everything lined up for us to go to the Pac-12 championship, but everything happens for a reason, and we're on our way back.
Did you stay up to watch the end of the Washington game?
I watched it until later half in the fourth quarter when Washington ended up going up by, I forgot how much points, I think it was like 10 or something like that, and then I just turned it off. I knew we were going after that. Washington State kind of, if they can't get it going, they had a couple stops. Their offense can't get it going. It's just, that's what I've noticed throughout the whole year with them. Coming back isn't really an option for them. Just their offense, and once the defense kind of finds the groove about how Cam Ward plays, he just really can't do much. He doesn't really want to run. He can run, but he just doesn't really want to. So Washington did a good job at containing him and just coming on top.
It's funny. Yesterday at practice, I caught up with Kareni Reed. Kareni, he fell asleep. He didn't know. He woke up at 3 in the morning, he said, and didn't know who won the game. So he was frantically scanning his phone to see who won, and at 3 in the morning he figured out that Washington won and that you guys are going to the Pac-12 championship game.
That's awesome. I thought about doing that, but I couldn't. The type of person I am, I had to watch it. I had to sit there and watch basically most of the game. I didn't have the game on at first when I got home because – it was a long day, and I didn't know if I really wanted to stay up to watch it, but just something in me was like, you have to watch it. So I watched most of it, and then finally when they got on top, I felt comfortable enough to turn it off. Hopefully that Washington State wouldn't come back, but it was good to watch.
Brant Keithy's with us here on the Bill Riley Show today on ESPN 700. So it's back to the championship game, and as I mentioned, this is really in full seasons, real seasons. You guys have played in the last four Pac-12 championship games. And from your perspective, how much does that experience, because most everybody on this team, I mean, with the exception of the newcomers this year, have all played in at least one, and a lot of the guys have played in three and in four of these championship games. So from your perspective, how much does that experience help you guys? How much did it help last year because you had been there? How much do you think it helps the guys this year because you were in Las Vegas at the same stadium? Same stakes on the line for the Rose Bowl. Is that a help or is that overrated?
I definitely think it is a help. You saw 2018, 2019, we went and we fell short. I think that just lack of experience, we haven't been in championship games like that. And coming on top last year, obviously playing Oregon twice that year and really beating them easily. And we kind of went into the Pac-12 championship knowing it was going to be the same case. We knew we were easily the better team. We just schemed the right way. The coaches did everything, and ultimately the players made the plays to win the game. And obviously going to this next game, it's kind of like last year. We beat Oregon, and we see them again in the Pac-12 championship. We beat SC this year, and we see them again in the Pac-12 championship. It's just, I think it definitely gives us confidence knowing that we beat the team first. We beat them once. It is hard to beat a team twice, but knowing we can easily do it, and having that confidence that we know we can win it like we did last year, I think instills a lot of confidence in the team. And they just have to prepare the right way this week and go into Friday feeling great and knowing what they need to do.
Well, the big difference, though, is last year you dominated Oregon in all facets in the first game and ended up doing it in the second game, too. The USC game was a completely different story. That was a back and forth, had to make a lot of adjustments, had the defense had to step up, had to answer scores. So in that sense, yeah, you've seen them before, but it took every last ounce of what you guys had to beat them versus a year ago where you guys handled Oregon pretty easily.
Yeah, and they're obviously different teams, and USC's, their quarterback is great. He can throw off any platform. They have good receivers. Their defense gave up a lot of points to our offense, so I think that's the biggest thing is it might be another offensive game and defense trying to stop them from scoring as much. We know that their offense is a powerhouse offense. They can score really at will, and any time they can do one play and score, just the type of players that they have, and we just need to find ways to stop them and try to contain that. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a really good game, and it might just go down to the wire just like last game. So I think the guys just need to go into this building and go into this game just having the right mindset, knowing that we beat them once and we can do it again, and just have to prepare the right way, and no doubt that we should come on top.
I have a thought or two on this. I'd be anxious to hear yours. What do you think the difference is between game one and game two for both these teams, if there are any, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, you saw SC after they lost. They've come back and won every single game from it. Jordan Addison is back. He got injured halfway through our game. And having that guy back, it's going to be a challenge for us, but we have the right guys to defend against him. Hopefully Clark just kind of follows him, but I don't know what they're going to be doing. But yeah, we have most guys back. We do have some guys on defense that are hurt that have, well, Van, he's out for the season, all those things that are happening. So yeah, we have less guys, but I'm sure they do too. They probably have guys come back just
well,
like that.
Travis Dye is out for the year, so that was a big part of their offense.
Yeah, that is. I do think he did make a huge difference, but at the same time, I think they can make up for it. The type of offense they run, having a good running back is key, but you can have guys that pick up the production run game. They're mostly pass team, and Caleb kind of controls the whole offense, and he's kind of a field general in that aspect. So I do think it's going to be a little bit different not having Travis Dye, but I don't think it should affect much, honestly. And I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it might be kind of the same, just going from the wire again.
Brant Keithy's with us, presented by Craig Swapp and Associates here on the Bill Riley Show today. My thought is, you know, USC isn't that much different. In fact, defensively, they're still pretty bad. And on offense, they're still very prolific. I don't know that they've changed a bunch. Caleb Williams is still the best quarterback in the league, all that good stuff. Might be the best quarterback in the country. For me, the biggest change is on your side. The offense, we'll see if it's back. It looked like it got healthy last week. It had been down, I think, a little bit. Cam obviously wasn't 100% the last couple of games, but he looked a lot better. But for me, the biggest difference for either team between game one and game two, Brant, is your defense. Because it felt like it was the second half of that game at Rice-Eccles that you guys turned a corner a little bit. I don't know what the halftime adjustments were exactly, but it felt like in the second half of that SC game, the defense started playing like a Utah defense, and they have been since, too. So I think that, to me, is the biggest difference, is that Utah's defense has played markedly better since that game. And I think quietly one guy that's really – the pass rush has been there, and obviously, hopefully Jonah can come back this week. Gabe Reed's been great. But for me, one of the biggest reasons has been the emergence of Zamaya Vaughn. Because to me, especially against a team like SC that's going to throw and spread the field with three and four wides, you know Clark and JT are good cover guys, but having that third excellent cover guy in Vaughn, to me, is huge.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, him kind of emerged. We've always known that he's had the talent, and the work ethic is just really just getting everything together, and I think everything has come together for him. The past couple games, he's picked it up and played really well and helped us win all these games. So, yeah, definitely having him out there is going to help. And matching up against the guys that they have, it's definitely going to be a challenge. But knowing the guys that we have, we can match up against them. It's going to be back and forth. It's not like we're going to be beating them the whole game, they're going to have some times where they're going to win, and we're going to face some adversity. But knowing guys and the feeling that they have this week, and knowing that all we have to do is win this game, go 1-0 this week, and we're Pac-12 champs again. We get to go to the Rose Bowl again. Can't be focused on what's after this. Kind of have to focus on this week, day by day, because folks getting prepared each day, coming out the right way, having the same mindset and attitude each day. We might fall behind and not prepare the right way, so just need to do all those things right, and I'm sure everything's going to fall in line for us.
Back to what you said a minute when I asked you about the experience and if it's a help, is that more of a help in the ramp up to the game itself and knowing what to expect and how to prepare for a championship game? Or is it the in-game stuff? Or is it once the game begins, a football game's a football game?
I think everything. Having the experience that we have, guys being in the championship again, also having the older guys, the season is very long. And we're getting to, what, game 12 or 13, whatever it is.
This is 13 and, this week, yeah.
Yeah, getting to game 13 and a lot of these younger guys not used to playing that many games in high school. And especially in college, it's long. It's a hard road. It's tough. You get banged throughout the season. You get to the end, you're sitting there with a championship, and it's right on the line. Having these older guys knowing the process that needing to go through, just kind of pushing through things, no matter what it is, having that guidance and leadership that we have is awesome. Having a lot of the older guys, even some of the younger guys, have been in this moment, have been in a championship game just like last year, and they know what it takes to win a championship. So everything's fallen in line. Didn't win as many games as we wanted to this year. Kind of the season was a little weird, not expecting what we thought it was going to be, but main goal is to go to the Pac-12 championship again, and we're here again. Just have to play the right way, prepare the right way, and it's going to be a good game.
So I want to ask you about something. I want to get your thoughts and kind of a prediction and game keys here in a minute for Friday night. But I don't know if you've seen this, but the finalists are out for the Mackey Award. Georgia's Brock Bowers, Notre Dame's Michael Mayer, and Iowa's Sam Laporta. Your guy, your friend, your teammate, Dalton Kincaid, somehow is not a finalist for the best tight end in college football. Even though he's number two in targets, number two in receptions, number one in receiving yards, number two in receiving touchdowns, number one in yak, number two overall PFF grade, and number one receiving PFF grade for a tight end. Yet, he's not a finalist for the Mackey Award. What's that say to you?
Well, I could go all day about this. Well, it's disrespectful, especially with Mackey. Kind of putting my two cents about what they've done with me. I've never been nominated for a watch list. I've never been on it the past 5 years I've been here. It's weird. I'm not sure what the criteria they're looking at. Maybe our tight ends line up in the slot more because we're more athletic. We can actually do more things than all these traditional guys that line up in line that aren't athletic as us, can't run as fast, all those things, which is insane. I mean, I thought that's what a tight end is. We move around the field. We can line up in line. We can line up on the outside slot. We can do all those things. And it's just insane that all those things that you just said.
Yeah.
And he's not a finalist.
Yeah, that's not even winning the award. That's not even being one of the final three. That's amazing to me.
It's insane. So, I mean, I don't look too far in it. Obviously, whoever's looking at that stuff and putting together and deciding who's the finalist doesn't really know much about football. No disrespect to them. It's just kind of insane because in my part, when I never got nominated, I wondered why. And they said I lined up in the slot. I was more of a H-back. I wasn't really a tight end. Even though the Mackey, I think Mackey was like 6'1", 6'2", 225. So I think they need to fix their criteria. They need to kind of look at themselves and see what they're seeing because I don't think there should be a weight or height or anything requirement to play the position because everyone's different. And, yeah, he should be a finalist. Seeing what their stats and how they play, I'm not understanding. There shouldn't be a finalist. He should win it. But it's cool. It's chip on his shoulder. And awards isn't everything in this game. And If they see he's not a finalist, who cares about them? Doesn't really matter opinions, other people's opinions about you. He just has to worry about what's in the building and what he thinks and how he can get better. And I think the stats speak for itself. And he just needs to worry about going to this next game and playing the right way and bringing this team on top and winning another Pac-12 championship.
I'm relatively sure. I don't want to speak for Dalton. You might because you know him. But I think he'd probably, if you gave him the choice between the Mackey Award and a Pac-12 championship this Friday, he'd probably take the Pac-12 championship, wouldn't he?
Yeah, easily. I mean, that's everybody. Why wouldn't you want a ring instead of – I mean, obviously getting that award, the best tight end in the nation, is awesome. But if these guys think he's not good enough or fits their criteria, who cares what they think? I've kind of had enough with them because they haven't really favored me in all those things. But who cares? We're worried about winning a championship. All those guys that you named, they're not even competing for one. So – who cares? We're just worried about this week, winning another ring, becoming Pac-12 champs, and hopefully going to the Rose Bowl, but just focus on this game this week.
All right, last thing, Brant. I'm going to make you be the analyst here. I don't want a coaching answer. I don't want a player answer. I want an analyst answer. Utah wins Friday night if what happens?
Utah wins Friday night if what happens? I think the biggest thing is if you look at last game, how we won the game, looking at SC, they should be keying on some of our guys if they weren't stupid. But I've noticed a lot of teams don't do that. They think that their players can match up one-on-one with our players. They can't. They don't have the players to do it. They can't match up linebackers with our team. They can't. Going against Dalton, you can't put a linebacker up against him. But it's cool. Go ahead. If they do that, we're winning the game. Defense is, I think, offense, yes, we need to score a lot of points, but defense is the main focus. If we can stop their passing somewhat, game is in our hands.
Okay.
Caleb Williams is a guy that controls the whole offense, and it goes as he goes. If he's not going to be playing well, if there's not guys open, if he can't create more time, because the biggest thing with him is he sits in the pocket for like 8 seconds. He runs out of the pocket. He creates time. Guys are running around. He finds guys open. If we can keep him in the pocket, if we can get guys rushing on him, kind of just getting him moving, and we can stop him from getting all those throws and just guys covering long enough, we should easily win. I think that's the key is the defense. Offense, I know we're going to scheme to make plays. I trust in the guys making one-on-one plays, all those things. So we should come on top if the defense finds a way to stop Caleb. But that's hard enough in itself. But knowing Scally and how he schemes, I think he's going to find a way.
All right, there you go. Brant Keithy with his game keys. I'll see you Friday in Vegas. Sound good?
Sounds good. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brant. And then Brant Keithy will join us again next week, and we'll find out if he's made his decision yet. I don't know if he's coming back or not.